This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, August 26th, 2018, the 13th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Choose this day whom you will serve. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It happens quite regularly that visitors to this place will get up and leave. They get up and leave because they are not used to hearing confrontational things. Confrontation with ourselves is our faith. We always need to be examining the conscience. Examination of conscience, everybody likes that. Well, you know, I just see if I did anything wrong today. The examination of conscience should start out with, and not just at the end of the day, but throughout the day, the question, choose this day. Whom will you serve? When Joshua calls the people of Israel together and poses this question to them, he gathers them and notice, let's put it in context. He is not calling the pagans who live around them, not calling heathen people to have faith in God. He's calling God's people. He's calling God's people around him. He said, choose this day whom you will serve. This is a little footnote, but I would admonish you to go home and sometime today during the Lord's Day, read Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24 is where this comes from. And what you heard from the lectionary today is five verses from an entire chapter. Two of those five verses are half. So you only really heard four verses from an entire chapter. And even those four verses, two of which are half, is confrontational. It is God's desire and the responsibility, the duty of God's servants in the Old Testament, his prophets, and in the New Testament, his priests, to confront his people with this question. Choose this day whom you will serve. Now, first and foremost, before you confront somebody with that, you better be doing it yourself. Asking yourself as a priest, choose this day, who are you going to serve? Because if you're up here because people like it, it sounds good, and this is nice and that's... No. This is about my oft-thrown-out substance under form. This is what Joshua is confronting the people. Is there substance under the form of your faith? And if you read the chapter, which I pray you do when you go home, he sets the stage. He sets it out by, I'm going to ask you a question, but before I ask you this question, why am I asking it? Why am I asking it? Because your Lord has blessed your socks off. My words, not the words of Scripture. Your Lord has done nothing but good for you. Your Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of chattel slavery. Your Lord, when the Egyptians went, what? We let them go. And they went chasing after you. He brought the Red Sea crashing down upon them. He is the one who gave them a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day to follow him. He has given them manna from heaven when they were starving. They didn't have to do farming. They didn't have to plant anything. They didn't have to pray. They woke up in the morning and food was everywhere. as much as they wanted. He blessed them continuously and without measure. And during that whole time he was blessing them, they grumbled against him. "We don't like the man. It's the same thing all the time. We want some birds and meat and stuff. In Egypt we had leeks and onions and all this kind of good stuff." They grumble against God. Not only grumble against him, they embrace the idols of the people around them. So after the presentation of God's blessings, Joshua throws out some warnings. This is one of those parts you didn't hear read from the lectionary today. Joshua says, "You better desire to serve the Lord because," and I quote, "if you forsake the Lord, he will not forgive your sins and he will turn and do you harm." But God loves everybody and he's merciful all the time. That's not what God says about himself. He will turn and he will do you harm. A warning. And there are a couple warnings that are out there. What he's trying to communicate to these people is, if you do not freely adhere to God, one, you will not serve him long. If your faith has no substance, if you come in here because you like the music, or you like the way people dress, or you like kind of quiet before Mass and after Mass, if that's all there is to it, and there's no understanding of why, problem. You will not serve God long if there is no substance under the form of your faith. Your words are meaningless. You could say amen to everything that's said in here, but if you don't live it, it's meaningless. Joshua confronts him with that, and he also confronts him with the fact that their worship has no merit whatsoever with God. It doesn't matter how good it looks. If you don't serve him, a lot of people get caught up in that serve thing. Serve him? Well, I go to Mass on Sunday. No. That first prayer that we had, I love our missal. Our missal's kind of up in your face. He demands of you laudable service. Service. You must serve him. You must do what he wants. You must bear fruit. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, if you don't bear fruit, and this is Gospel John chapter 15, if you don't bear fruit, you will be cut off and cast in the furnace. You must bear fruit. That's the laudable service of God. And it starts in here. It starts in here in the way we worship our Lord. This is what Joshua presents to his people. We love to be in charge of things. That's our nature. We love to be in control. I have free will to do this. Yes, you do. You absolutely do. And that's where Joshua's going with this whole thing. You have free will. This confrontation with the people of God engages free will on a radical level. Basically, in a nutshell, he's saying, you as an individual must give full submission to the moral life. Notice I didn't say submit yourself to a moral life. There is no such thing as a moral life. There has to be the moral life. There's a big difference. The moral life is the moral life that our Lord Jesus Christ demands of his people. That is the moral life that you have to, as an individual, embrace. You must. You must, or he will turn and do you harm if you do not. The moral life, as I said, the one that Jesus demands of us. People that, I hear this one, they don't go to Mass, and some of them don't even say they believe in God, but they live a good life. No, they don't. No, they don't. They don't live a good life. You can't live a good life. You must live the good life. You must live that. Now, am I saying that when people who don't believe in God do good things, it's not good? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying in the grand scheme of things, it is not moral because it does not lead to eternal life. Because they're not serving God when they do good things. They are serving the poor. They are serving them their own desire to do good for people. That's what they're serving. They're not serving Jesus Christ. Because you must serve Jesus Christ for eternal life. This is a warning. Choose this day whom you will serve. This one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me, or doing good for this group of people, or doing this for good for this group of people, or just being a good person. No. The question has to be answered every day. And I don't mean at the end of the day, ask yourself, did I do this? Or at the beginning of the day, do I choose today? A lot of folks struggle with things throughout the day. Now, we can kind of disconnect when we hear this whole idolatry thing. Yeah? When Joshua is speaking to these people, he's talking about statues of frogs and casts of cows and all this kind of nice stuff. That's up in your face idolatry. Satan is more subtle than any beast of the field, and our idols are much more subtle, which means they're much more dangerous. You don't see them coming. It would be like if you were in combat in this world and the enemy was wearing bright orange or green vests where you could see them everywhere they were. No, what do? They camouflage themselves. Then they will hurt you and kill you. Our subtle idolatry is much more dangerous than cows and frogs because it manifests itself in things that are good. Good. Family. Can be an idol. Well, you're not going to see us at Mass for the next 3 months because little Johnny's in a soccer league and they only play on Sundays. Little Johnny's an idol. Soccer is an idol. And it is as damning as a frog or a statue of a cow. It's just more subtle because you don't know it's there. It's a cancer. There's no symptoms. You know, I've been there. I feel great. I'm perfect. I'm like I've always been. No. It'll kill you. You don't know about it. That's our idolatry. And because we're like that, God, throughout salvation history, has always put in place men who confront his people with, hey, check yourself. Here we got Joshua here, just a couple generations later, we have Elijah. He asked the people the same question. 1 Kings 18, how long will you go limping with two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. Make up your mind. In our context, we don't come to Mass on Sunday and then do this, that, or the other thing throughout the week. Do not bend the knee to an idol. Our temptations are nothing less than the statues. They're just more spiritual. You know, temptations are looking, are thinking about doing things. That's like looking at the idol across the room that's sitting out on a shelf. Should I? Shouldn't I? Shouldn't I? And then the more you think about it, you go over and you pick up the idol and you bring it over and you look at it. Man, this is really nice. This is really beautiful idol. And when you do it, you bend the knee. There are a lot of people that have a lot of different struggles in this world. Money, various and sundry substance, immorality. Yeah. When you, a more common one, when you sit in your house, and you, I'm on the computer, maybe I'll go here. That is the question. Choose today. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve me and look away? Walk away? Or are you going to serve your idol and look at that? And it won't just be a matter of looking. You will bend the knee to your idol. This is what God's servants are supposed to warn their people against. We get warned every time we come to Mass. You should be doing this on your own, but the Mass is where we see it collectively and communally. Every first Sunday of every month, we hear the Decalogue read. How does the Decalogue... I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. He didn't bring me out of Egypt. Yeah, he did, the Egypt of sin. Like I said, just our idols are subtle. The Israeli people knew that they were in chattel slavery. They were getting beat. They were having to make bricks without straw, all that good stuff. We don't even know we're in bondage to slavery, the slavery of sin. And he is the Lord our God who has brought us out of the land of Egypt. And we got to check ourselves every day and say, who am I going to choose to serve? Him or my fill-in-the-blank idol? That's why we hear the Decalogue. We hear his rule, but it started out just like Joshua starts it out. I'm the Lord your God. I have blessed you tremendously. If you imagine my illustration before about looking at the computer. Do you not realize that you have the sight to be able to look on things because of God's blessing? How about he just fixes this problem and strikes you blind? You dishonor him by doing that. He's blessed you with some things and you have to. And then we have the creed after the Decalogue. The creed, we hear all the things we believe, and then we say, Amen. Amen. That does mean something. It's Hebrew. I believe, I acquiesce, I embrace. Amen. If you say these things and then come up to this altar rail and receive divinity, body, blood, soul, and divinity within your very being, you take God within yourself, then Joshua's words, you have witnessed against yourself this day. You have no excuse outside of yourself. This is up to you. Like I said, we love to be in charge of things. There you go. Have at it. You have been given free will. He will not beat you into submission. Ain't going to happen. He wants you to love him because you do and all the good things he's done for you. And you have to look at him and answer the question, who are you going to serve? All these good things I have done for you, but this trash, this disgusting activity that will last for a couple minutes, that's more important than what I've done. Choose this day who you're going to serve. I hear quite frequently, you know, you really ought to lighten up on this and on that. Guess what? Not my job. That's just the bottom line. Any faithful priest should not be lightening up. It is not a priest's job to have you come in here and him tell you a couple cool stories about his family or his latest vacation and then tell you that God loves you and just distribute communion. A faithful servant of God confronts his people with, choose this day and do it every day. This is on you. Choose who are you going to serve. He sums this up by saying, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord. Serve him. When you come up here and you receive our Lord in communion, you are witnessing against yourself, and he is ratifying it by not killing you for coming up here and receiving him in the lack of perfection that we all do. We are witnesses against ourselves. We need to choose every single day, every single moment, particularly in moments of temptation. Choose. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve me? Are you going to serve idols? The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.